Welcome to Clamp, the weekly podcast where we discuss all things related to creating, living, and making projects. I'm your host, Grant Alexander, and joining me as always is Jesse Ratfink. Unfortunately, Adam can't make it this week, but we have a special guest in his place. In the real world, some people call him Doctor, but you probably know him from his humorous short-form content. He recently took a trip to the real Great White North and has launched a podcast about therapy in the workshop. Please welcome Andrew Hatch from Hatch Made It.
Thank you. I'm bowing. I just hit my mic.
There we go.
Yeah, well, that's you did that just so that people knew you. It was real. For those who aren't tuned into the video version of this podcast. So, Andrew, why don't you take a second to tell everyone, you know, who you are and what you do beyond what I've just said 3 seconds ago.
So I'm Andrew. I've been a long-term maker and a long time education addict, I guess. I'm on, like Grant said, I'm Dr. Hatch. I'm a chiropractor. So that's why some people call me doctor and some people don't. I started my educational career doing behavioral neuroscience. Then I went to chiropractic school, then did a degree in a master's in functional medicine and human nutrition. Then I did a certificate of environmental medicine. Now I'm doing a master's of psychology or clinical psychology because my hands hurt and I can't be a chiropractor anymore. And it's affecting my time in the shop. And since I enjoy my time in the shop more than being a chiropractor, I'm not going to give that up.
That's fair.
Yeah. Well, you know, you recently started a podcast about, I think it's called Workshop Therapy. And we wanted to have you on tonight to talk about why do some people feel that the workshop is actually therapeutic? And I thought it was a really good thing to talk about because a lot of people talk about how, like, you know, they want to escape whatever's happening in their life and they go into their shop to do that, or they find some sort of meaning in the workshop. And I thought you might have some insights on, you know, what is workshop therapy, or what makes it therapeutic, really?
Well, so that's going to be the main focus of my research. Is the creativity aspect of mental health. So that's one of the reasons I started the podcast, is so I could actually start talking to people and just question them, like, why is this helpful for you? What's the benefit for you? And so far, a lot of what people have been telling me is it's like a Zen thing for them. You know, you can, like on my podcast, a couple of people have brought up the reel and I did a little reel on it. I'm sure you guys have seen various people do it where there's all the voices in your head and blah, blah, blah. And then they start doing the thing they love and then it's dead silence. Right. And for a lot of people that's what it's like. And so you dig into some of the creative research out there. And a lot of it is, it really is a focus thing. So when people are, one of the things that gives people a lot of stress is just all of these different demands on our time, right? Mm-hmm. You got your parents, you're an employee, you're a son, a daughter, a whatever, all of these different roles that you have, and they all have different expectations for you. And you become overwhelmed by all these different expectations, especially if you have a high stress job or there's a lot of pressure on you because you're late. And so a lot of people, particularly the hobbyists, when you get into your workshop, that becomes your time and you can shut things off, move them away, and you can focus on the task at hand. And I think that ties a lot into like meditation and things like that. There's lots of research into meditation that helps the mindfulness aspect of it. And I think that's where creative therapy, it's just another form of meditation almost. That's kind of what I think anyway.
I think you're bringing like a really good point here about it's your time in the shop. And I think a lot of people are able to like set aside time to work in the shop. And I think the people who can do that find the therapeutic value, right? Where they can block off, this is time, I'm in there, I'm doing my thing. And I remember when we only had one son, it was a lot easier for me to just escape, get into the shop, do whatever I needed to do, or go edit a video, because I also found that like somewhat therapeutic sometimes, just kind of like it was like reliving the shop, but from the computer seat. But I now feel like I've got so many demands on my time that I no longer find the workshop as therapeutic as I once did, because now I feel like guilty being in there half the time I'm in there. And I wonder, Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I've actually been thinking about this a bit too, because I have three kids, right? And so my shop time is sometimes can be pretty limited as well. But there's a self-care aspect to it as well, right? Mm. If you're constantly running on empty, then you're more likely to be short with your kids or with your coworkers or whoever. Your capacity to take stress in and moderate it and not push it back at somebody else is greater when you're taking care of yourself. And so if time in the shop is something that you find gives you some sort of relief, then that lowers that level of stress in your mind. So when a stressful situation comes in, like I know your kid is probably a perfect child and never does anything annoying, but you know, sometimes mine do some annoying things. And so when I'm calm and relaxed and ready to deal with life, I can look at the, oh good, you just walked with muddy feet across our white carpet and not have a total meltdown about it. But if I'm already at the tipping point, then I'm less likely or less able to do that. Mm-hmm. And that was actually going back to our conversation about when I said that I'm on disability currently, that was one of actually my tipping points, is I realized that I was in chronic pain all day long, every day from my job. And it made me a worse parent and a worse person to be around because that stress was higher. I still have that as a problem, but I'm not making it worse by going to work, and I'm having a little bit more time to do other things that are kind of building some of the resilience so I can deal with that aspect a little bit better than I could prior to that moment. And so now I'm a better parent. I'm a better person overall. I'm still a terrible person, I'll admit to that, but at least I'm slightly better.
Right. And that's, I have the same, like chronic pain is something I've been dealing with for a while. And I know on the days where the pain is worse, if I look back over my life, I can see I'm a worse parent. And it's because I'm dealing with the pain on top of everything else. Right. And like either my back or my shoulders, if they're hurting that day, I'm a worse person. And I know thinking back on times, the times where I've been able to get out into the shop, say for a whole morning, I'm a better parent in the afternoon. And I don't think I've ever put the two and two together, because I don't often have the opportunity to just like separate and not be the person. Now, by doing that, I then obviously I'm putting a lot of pressure on my wife, who then it's her resiliency is at a low, because she's been dealing with the chaos that is, you know, kids. So I wonder, she needs her own workshop, I guess.
It doesn't have to be a workshop necessarily. You know, as a person who just graduated from therapy for her second time and has been in like years of therapy, this all reflects things that therapists have told me. You know, you have to make time for yourself. You have to do self-care to have the energy to do everything else that, you know, people expect you to do with no problem whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And so I have had such anxiety and health problems in the past few years that I have not wanted to do a big building project. But, you know, I might channel that into I don't know, life sim video games like Animal Crossing, something that's like lower stakes. You know, it's just being able to take time and not think about everything that's been running through your brain all day. Like just being able to shut off for a little bit is so beneficial. And, you know, I have always been a little like wary of meditation, just because it's something I didn't really understand probably until the last year that I was in therapy. And now, I understand. It's really just doing any sort of, I don't want to say tedious, but something where you can just, you know, and your brain turns off. You're just moving your hands, doing whatever, and you don't have to think about stuff so hard.
Yeah, I think a thing that a lot of people get hung up on, whether it comes to like a mental health thing or a physical health thing, people get hung up on the "I have to do it all," right? Mm-hmm. When back pain, you brought up back pain and shoulder pain. Like those are two of the things that I treat. Well, not right at the moment. Those are the two of the things that I've treated most commonly over the last 10 years, right? I would say 75% of my time is treating people's shoulders. And I've started giving people specific exercises. Like you do these three exercises and that takes care of 75% of the issue. You know, like you do for most people, depending on what their condition is, right? But people get hung up on the, I know I need to go to the gym, and the gym is a half an hour commitment plus the half hour to get there, the half hour to come home. So you've shot an hour and a half. I don't have an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you can take four shoulders, for example. You know, you take a resistance band and you tie it on your doorknob in your closet or above your door in your closet. And then just every time you walk by your closet, you grab the resistance band and you do three or four lat pulls, right? Takes 5 seconds. That's all it takes. But you do that every time you walk by that resistance band and you've accumulated 5 minutes of doing lat pulls during a single day, right? And you haven't taken any time aside. The same thing with mental health. You don't have to, well, I'm going to meditate. So therefore, I have to have my seaside resort where I can sit down on my yoga mat and have my hands there for 45 minutes. You don't have to do that. What you need to do is you need to take, you know, 5 seconds, take like box breathing actually is a really good technique. And so, you know, I don't know if you know what box breathing is. Box breathing, you breathe in for four, the count of four, hold for the count of four, breathe out for the count of four, hold for the count of four, breathe in. So you just do a count of four cycle of in and out breath for like 30, 40 seconds. All you have to do it. And research has shown that that will decrease your level of stress. It decreases your heart rate. It's like, you know, 30 seconds, a minute. And that conscientious, I'm doing something and focusing on this one thing has all sorts of benefits. And so, I don't know if you listen to, the Mortise and Tenon podcast at all.
No,
but they're big fans of going out into your shop just for 5 minutes. Go out to your shop for five minutes, pick something up, clean something up, go back into the house.
Right. Something I try and do sometimes. It's just get up, go, and you know, there's always something you can put away in your shop, right? Mm-hmm. So you can always just go in there. You have an extra five. I used to spend that extra five smoking. I've quit smoking. I quit smoking like 5 years ago. Now I have to try and find, you know what? The biggest problem I have right now, so I have like ADHD and I've been dealing with it my whole life and self-managing it my whole life. And now though, the phone is the problem and it is so easy to get distracted that you can just pull it out anytime. And those minutes that you talk about, those 30 seconds, those five pulls that you could do, that little bit of exercise. I have a thing and I was doing exercises for my shoulders and I stopped. And I stopped because now instead of like when I walk by and do it, I'm like holding my phone and like looking at stupid, you know, short form content, reels, and like watching 5 seconds of a fucking movie. And I go, why the hell am I watching this? I don't want to watch part 52 of 332 parts of a stupid movie on TikTok. And not even on TikTok. But it's TikTok content now on it everywhere, right?
Yes.
And it's pulling me so much that I don't do the things that I need to do. And I find it really, really, really difficult when I have 5 minutes to not spend those 5 minutes like doom scrolling on the internet.
Yeah, that's kind of a learned behavior that you're going to have to unlearn, sadly. Like, that's something that I was struggling with. I mean, as most everybody knows, I talk about it all the time. I run all the social media for Instructables and Tinkercad, and it gets to be a lot. And so for me, it's just sort of when I realized how much it was affecting my mood and how much time I was wasting, it was eventually like, okay, enough is enough. And then that's when I started not picking my phone up first thing in the morning. Like, I don't pick it up until I get back in with the dogs a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Or you know, yeah, just taking those mindful breaks during the day when I find that I'm kind of freaking out. I just, yeah, you just have to sort of think of something else that's always close by that you would enjoy and just try to insert it. It takes forever. It was hard for me, but it really helps. And I feel like my mood is so much better just because I am not locked to doom scrolling right now.
I think if I went back to smoking, my mental health might improve.
Oh, but
my physical health would probably be worse. But you know what I mean? Like, it's those one, like those 5 minutes where I could just like, but you know what? Now I probably wouldn't because I'd have my phone, right? Like, it's no longer that break. Right. I'd be smoking and scrolling. So
yeah, you get cancer and anxiety all at the same time. Right.
Yay.
Yeah. You know, everybody likes Adam Savage, right? You guys know who Adam Savage is.
Who?
You know, his whole first order retrieval thing, right? How everything needs to be as accessible as possible. You can use that exact same thing in order to retrain your brain to get rid of bad habits that you don't want to have, like doom scrolling, for example. So instead of just setting your phone down on your desk beside your laptop or your computer, wherever you're sitting, put it in a drawer, you know? So then there's one physical step between you and the phone. So you're less likely to pick it up. Or for example, in the morning, if you're trying to train yourself to, I don't want to pick up my phone first thing in the morning, you know, set it underneath your journal, if you journal, or set it somewhere. So it's not the first thing you can grab. You have to move something to get to it. And then that gives you enough of a mental break to kind of shut that impulse off for a second.
So that's exactly what I did, but I charge it far away from me. That's what I do. So it always gives me a little bit of a break during the day.
So one of the things I did to a similar thing is I took the apps I didn't want to, the apps like TikTok I deleted, and I just went, if I need to go on TikTok, I'll go on my browser, and I don't need to go on TikTok. But if someone has written a comment and I want to respond, there's other apps that I just spent, I was spending too much time on, like Imgur. So what I did is I took it and I took it off my like home screen. And now to get to it, I have to like scroll through the apps to the letter I and find it, right? So it is now no longer on my home screen. If I want to go, if I have to physically choose to go to it, I find that I don't know if you guys do this, but I'll open up my phone and I just go between like three apps. And I just go like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. And I just go like I just scroll through those three apps looking for notifications. I don't know what I'm looking for. Yeah. It is so like frustrating when I catch myself. It used to be like YouTube, TikTok, and like Instagram. And like I used to have like six or seven apps that I'd go through. And so I've really pared it down. But now I just find like I'm cycling faster through those apps. But it does like I catch myself quicker that way, I find. So I don't know. The problem is like being in social media. I know there's people out there who are like install an app, post, delete the app.
Wow, really?
And they do not check it again until they have something else to either say or do or post. And that is a level of like you have to really want to post something for you to have to install the app to post it.
Yeah.
Right?
Never heard of that, but that's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes some self-discipline to do that. That was one of the biggest advantages of driving all the way to the Arctic Ocean, though, right? Like there was points where we're literally like 300-400 miles from the nearest cell tower or town. Mm-hmm. And so there's no service. And so you don't do that sort of thing. And then, of course, since I'm doing my master's, I have to go and put up my satellite internet, and then the moment there's an internet connection, you know, suddenly the phone's out. Oh, I got to check the notifications and stuff. But I had it all running off of solar and a battery, and so you know it was okay. I've got an hour and a half here, and I've got to get through 3 hours worth of schoolwork. So you know that was a tremendous motivator to just like screw that crap. I've got to get important things done. But there was a big mental health boost to that though too, because it just wasn't an option. You know, I was off the grid.
Right. And I've definitely felt that when I've gone like backcountry camping, in places. So when I go backcountry camping, I don't know if there's cell signal or not because I turn my phone off. I don't actually turn it off. I turn off all the connections so that I can still use it for filming, which is like the other frustrating part is like, but I have no connections. I don't have the connections on. I have everything turned off. It's as if you can't reach me, but I'm still using my phone because the phone's so easy to just pull out and film. And,
yeah.
But so that's, I like, people ask me like, oh, how's the cell connection in Frontenac? I'm like, I don't know. They're like, well, you were there. I don't know. I don't know if it's good or bad. So I get what you're saying. Now, obviously, I haven't gone to Tuck to Yuck Duck, but you know, it is. It does seem like a type of place that you're going to have intermittent signal at best.
Actually, truth be told, they had really good cell signal.
Oh yeah,
I mean, there was nothing between there and any and the next place, but in the town, they had good cell service.
Oh, fair, because there's not a lot of people like stealing up that bandwidth.
Yeah,
but okay, I think we've kind of gotten off a little bit about, you know, what makes it therapeutic? And I guess we've been talking about it, but we've been beating around the bush. You know, what makes it therapeutic? And I think if you think about it, it's probably being disconnected, right? The times that I've gone out to the shop and I'm working on something and it's like, you know, you have like this big stack of wood that you need to like process and you need to turn it into something else. And you have a process in place. That's those days I feel like I've gotten a lot of work done and I've gotten a lot of, you know, feel good about it at the end of the day. The days that I go out there and I'm like, not sure what I want to do. And I'm like, ending up checking my phone every 5 minutes to, is there any inspiration that can get me going here? Those are the days that I feel like I wasted my time. Do you have any thoughts on how to ensure that you don't, so that you can capitalize on the time from a therapeutic perspective?
I think it actually just comes down to intention. You're not, particularly with the social media thing, right? Like everybody knows that social media is designed to capture your attention, right? Like that's what the model is built around. And so meditation, shop therapy, whatever outlet that you have, it ultimately comes down to you being intentional with your time. And so when it comes to going out to the shop, you know, if you have 5 minutes, I'm going out to the shop to pick up X tool or to clean up, you know, sweep the floor, like have a task when you're going out there instead of going out there and getting overwhelmed by all the tasks that you have to do and flipping out the phone instead. Right. I think it just comes back to that intentionality of it. The same as meditation, the same as yoga, the same as going to the gym, all of these things that are good for your mental health. It comes down to the intentionality of your time.
Good advice.
Yeah. It takes, I think, more commitment than people realize up front to just set those good habits in place. But it's definitely worth it. It just, yeah, you do have to really think about, how is my time best spent? How would I best enjoy spending this small amount of time that I'm going to have by myself? Or, I mean, in a lot of cases, I think that people sort of lie to themselves that they don't have any personal time or that they don't have enough time to do it all. Sort of like we were talking about earlier. I think my therapist always calls it black and white thinking, where it's like all or nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, you really have to kind of take baby steps with stuff like this.
I think that's the important thing to remember, though, is that you do have to take baby steps, right? Like, you're not going to be perfect at it the first time. You're going to fail. There's no question about it. You're going to fail. But if you let that control your actions, then you're doomed to fail again, right? It's recognizing, again, I'm being intentional. I made a mistake. I'm going to correct this. Next time I'll do a little bit better. And eventually you'll get to the point where you want to be. And that applies to every goal, whether it's mental health or developing a talent or exercising.
Mm-hmm. Well, I might do it for mental health, but I'm not going to do it for exercising. I'm just letting you know.
Exercising my favorite, is so good, Grant.
But my favorite exercise is the BTM. You guys don't BTM? Know about it? Yeah,
beer to mouth.
Yeah, you got it. You're the first Russian who's ever got the BTM.
I don't even drink.
Well, there you go. I'm pretty sure I saw you drinking coffee. I'll say that is a drink.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't drink coffee either.
Oh, what was it that you were drinking out of a thermos?
This? Oh, it's just ice water.
Oh.
I have a thing. I don't like drinking anything that's warm. And so, okay. I have a vacuum flask specifically for ice water. That's actually pretty much all I drink, except for the occasional pop, which makes me, super healthy. That's why I'm overweight.
Yeah, I get you. I have that same problem. Super. I only drink water too. It's just my water's filtered through a brewery.
Yours has additives to make it taste different.
Yeah, just
botanical just like, additives. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all natural. It's all natural.
Yeah, it's basically a health food.
Pretty much. Four ingredients. That's it. Four ingredients. You can pronounce every one of them, so therefore it must be good.
According to the ladies on TikTok, yes. That's how you know if something is healthy. Kills me.
going back to my master's in nutrition, I actually give people nutritional advice, and it's if you can't pronounce it, don't eat it. So that's probably true. But so to make you feel a little bit better about your alcohol problem, alcohol is actually has anti-cancer properties to it. So you can just say that you're preventing cancer. Of course, it causes other problems. So it's kind of like smoking for weight loss. But hey,
yeah, I definitely remember that. And you know, I'm pretty sure that that all right, we won't even go into that. appreciate that. I won't. Yeah, let's switch gears up into the therapeutic properties of the workshop. I feel like when there's chaos in my life, there's chaos in my workshop. And I really wish that there was some way to get rid of to have them the opposite. If there's, I don't mind chaos in my workshop if my life was going good. I don't mind if my life's, you know, if there's, my workshop's really neat and tidy, if there's, you know, a little bit of chaos. So do you ever feel like why is it that they're always going in these cycles? Do you understand that? Do you know what I'm saying here?
I have the opposite problem. It's always, it swings. Like I just go all in on something and get really chaotic. I think it's just kind of my manicness though. So it's like, yeah, if the house is great and everything is fine, that's the only place where it's great. But if, you know, the workshop is great and everything is fine, then I have completely forgotten everything else. So I kind of like veer to the far end of the spectrum on that.
All right. What's your diagnosis on us there?
Well, you definitely both have ADHD, that's for sure. I think a lot of like when you get that chaos in one affects the chaos in the other, I think that comes down to like the cognitive burden of it. There's a concept called psychological capacity, right?
Gotcha.
And so that's basically your ability to so it's like your mental buffering space, right?
Right.
And so if you're overloaded in one area of your life, that's going to spill over and affect the other area of your life. And so that's where going back to like taking time to be intentional about things, you know, it's all going to affect everything else. And so you're overwhelmed here. And then you become overwhelmed here and you pull back and you spend more time doom scrolling on the phone or whatever your problem is, instead of doing the thing that you know you should. And then that overwhelms you further and you just keeps building.
So I feel like to relate this into a making thing, I feel it's like making a jig. So like say you need to drill 100 holes in the same spot on a board, right? And the corner of the board needs the same spot every time, and you're trying to do it, and you're like measuring every time, right? And you're like, if you only need to do one, yeah, that measuring working great. And I think this buffering is when you now have 100, you need to make the jig, but the jig takes time to make, right? So you need to spend that time intentionally up front in order to make that upfront investment is going to pay off later.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hearing. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Yep. I mean, it reinforces everything I've learned in therapy. So, yes.
Well, now that I'm making sense, I guess we can go on and thank our Patreon supporters. I want to thank our F-Clamp level, especially Vincent Ferrari from Digitally Creative, Scott from Dat It Yourself DIY, Joe Herdina, Rich from Lowen Designs, and David Wood from DW Wood Builds. All those people and everyone else who supports us on the show, I want to give a big thank you to everyone, because without that, we would not be able to do this show. The show isn't free. It costs a bunch of money to have the recording software we do, to host the podcast over on Buzzsprout. So, and with that, everyone who supports us gets access to a pre-show, after show, a monthly hangout on Discord, and a keychain made especially by me. And you can find all that at patreon.com/clamp. If you can't support us financially, I completely understand. You can just share the show, or you can write a review. All that would be appreciated. And now, Clampmendations.
Clampmendations! This week, I want to recommend Kayla Nelson on Instagram. Her handle is DIYery, which is a little hard for me to say. It reads a lot easier than I can say it. But she does amazing interior design, a lot of just DIY projects in her house. Everything she does is ultra modern and beautiful. I am very envious of a kitchen that she did for someone that you can see on her Instagram page, right? When you look at it with like white tile in the background and like a black sink. I love everything she does. And she is inspiring me, I think, to do more darker colors in my house. Mm. So I'm a little excited about that because I have plans for like a floral 3D printed headboard that would look really nice on like a charcoal wall. So yeah, she's giving me a lot of good ideas. So I highly recommend scrolling through her stuff. It's beautiful.
Well, I will have to go check that out. Home DIYery.
Yeah.
That is hard to say.
Right? Like it makes so much sense in my brain, but it doesn't come out the way I think.
Yeah, I feel like I want to say diary. And then there's a Y in there. Diary. Anyways, sorry, Kayla, if you listen. I'm gonna recommend that everyone go check out Brad from I'm Gonna Make. For a long time, he had this channel, and it's called I'm Gonna Make. And I'm like, are you ever gonna make anything, Brad? I'd always give him shit. Because he would always comment on my videos, but he never actually made any videos. But now he's doing really good about producing some content on a pretty regular basis, and I feel like he deserves a lot more views than he's getting. And I don't know why he's not getting them, but he should definitely get them. And so you should go check him out. So it's I'm Gonna Make it on YouTube.
Oh, I like his logo. That's great.
Yeah, I like it too.
So I'm going to go with one of my favorite Instagram follows, Chelsea Van Voorhis. Mm. So she's a veneer artist. So she does a lot of work with veneer. She's not my typical type of follow, honestly, but I really enjoy her content and interacting with her on the interweb. She does some pretty cool stuff.
Wow. Yeah, that is really pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Need to follow.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, instead of us all looking at, randomly owing and aahing, we'll let everyone else go down there and we'll turn it over to Jessie for her section of the podcast.
All right. So this week's Ask Us Anything question comes from DW Wood Builds. And this is especially for you, Grant. MDF, benefits and correct project types.
All right. I'll start off. There's the benefit of MDF is that it cuts like butter. Because it's not actually wood. If you're trying to like carve something and you're weak, like me, then MDF might be the way to go. If you have, if you really wanted to see how something expands in water, MDF is really great for that. Yep. You just put it in there and you can see how it expands. It's really cool. If you wanted to have a makeshift sponge, it's almost like a sponge. You can't like wring it out after, but honestly, like, if you're going to paint something and it's like got zero value to you and it's not going to last forever, then MDF is a project for you. That's where I go.
I think it's actually excellent for giving yourself lung cancer as well. The sawdust is really
That's a big benefit.
Really dusty and gross. Yeah, it's wonderful. If you're looking for some way to, you know, capitalize on that life insurance you've paid for, that's probably a good thing. Breathe lots of MDF dust in.
Right. As long as you're not in America where you lose your house because of the cancer in the first place.
Yeah, if you're ready to live in a tent downtown, that's a great great way to go. I agree. I never use it because it's heavier than fucking anything. Mm-hmm. And I can't do it. And yeah, the dust. I hate both of those things so much that I will always just be like, I'm just going to get some plywood. Always.
Right.
No doubt.
It's dimensionally stable as long as it doesn't touch.
I will admit to using MDF when it's there's a super light brand. It's made out of radiata pine. And it's about the same weight as plywood, so it's quite a bit lighter. That's actually not bad because it's still gosh awful stuff to work with. Just the dust gets everywhere.
Mm. Yeah. So I almost never hook up the vacuum to my router when I'm routing. And I hooked up the vacuum to my router and it seemed like it did nothing. Even like usually like it does something, like if you feel like it's doing something because it's like collecting all the wood chips, this did nothing. I was covered in MDS dust. And it was not fun.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the benefits. Correct project types, speaker boxes.
Yeah. I've seen it. End of story. For that. That's small enough. It's fine. Yes. I like that.
So the reason speaker boxes is it's the right project for is because you will not get, there's going to be no differentiation between the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Wood has different differentiation. Even plywood has, it's going to be different. And the sound waves are going to travel through it differently. But MDF, it's not going to do that.
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought about it acoustically, but that makes sense.
So MDF for your acoustics. And otherwise, it's for pissing on. I want to thank TF Turning for the theme song. I want to thank Andrew Hatch from Hatch Made It for coming on. Where can everyone find you, Andrew?
Just at Hatch Made It, pretty much everywhere.
Right, all one word.
Yep.
If you search Hatch Made It, you will not be able to find him on YouTube. You have to put it all one word.
Oh, yeah, you do. It's just at Hatch Made It on, actually, I take that back. Facebook is Hatch Made Canada because there was already a Hatch Made It on Facebook.
Oh, those Facebooks.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's a lot of fun. We're going to head on over into the after show where we're going to have a little bit more exciting conversation with Andrew Hatch. So, thank you very much, and we'll see you guys all next week.
Bye.